Good morning, Charlottesville. Welcome to Real Estate Matters. I'm Michael Guthrie. You're listening to News Radio 1070. So pleased to have you here with us this morning. And gosh, we've had a wild couple weeks. Earthquakes, hurricanes, and it looks like things have settled down a little bit. Although, night before last, enjoyed another aftershock. Nice way to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Hope you guys are well. Hope you're excited about game day. UVA versus William & Mary tonight at 6 o'clock. So much has been talked about in regards to this UVA football team and what will happen this season. And I must admit, I'm positively, cautiously optimistic and looking forward to a great season. Really appreciative of what Mike London has brought to the team as far as character and recruiting folks that really care about the game but also really care about living their life in the right way. And so hopefully, like me, we're all going to be cheering for them. There'll be a big crowd there tonight. And we'll cheer them on victory over the William & Mary tribe. Hey, we're here again talking about the things that matter in real estate. We talked in the last few weeks just about the economy, about financing, mortgages, interest rates, what's going on, the second quarter market report. And basically a lot of folks are just waiting. They're in a wait-and-see sort of attitude. Whether it's because of the economy, whether it's because of consumer confidence, just folks are thinking, you know what, I'm just going to hang on and I'm just going to kind of see how things go. And we're going to kind of go a different direction. You know, last week we talked about two brand new communities here in Charlottesville, the Preserve at Glenmore, as well as the 550 downtown. And I said during that show, it was a great example of the fact that things are not just nothing happening. Things are not just dead. Developers are out there thinking that now is the time to start moving some things forward, being price sensitive, being price conscious, being sensitive to what a buyer is looking for. And this week is no different. We're going to be talking about a different type of building opportunity, one that maybe you haven't heard of, but lots of people have. And that is in relationship to a company called INJ Builders. And I have Quinn Beversluis in the studio with me this morning. Quinn represents Ian Jackson and his crew out at INJ. And I've just, quite honestly, I've been here almost 6 years and just learning about what it is they're doing. And I felt like it was important to bring Quinn on the show and one, talk about what it is that INJ is doing. And then two, after the break, talk about just step-by-step process as to how this particular product works and why it seems to be having a lot of success. Quinn, we're really grateful to have you here this morning.
Well, thank you, Michael. I appreciate it. I look forward to explaining to you and to listeners out there, you know, what we specialize in.
Absolutely. Well, tell me, Quinn, before we do that, tell us a little bit about when you came to Charlottesville, what you were doing, and then how you ran into Ian and his gang out at INJ.
It's a kind of a crazy story, but we moved here from upstate New York about 6 years ago. I was actually in the horse business. I was a farrier and a horse trainer and got sick of the taxes and the weather in upstate New York and the snow and decided to move south. So came down here, bought a piece of property and with a house, got a great deal. And, you know, I came from a quarter acre to 11 acres and they told me what my taxes were going to be. And I said, is that a quarter? Or is that a year? And it was even, you know, I met some great people down here and started my horse business. And, you know, it's horses are like people's kids. So, you know, you got to know a lot of people, and I didn't know anybody in this area. So I recognized that I didn't want to start all over again and always been good with my hands. And the guy that I bought my house from actually worked for INJ, and he introduced me to Ian, and one thing led to another, and I was out building houses, you know, as a subcontractor and got busy with, you know, with all the work that they were doing. And that was, you know, 2005. So, you know, they were cranking pretty good. We know what the real estate market was back in those days. But there was a lapse. I would work 14, 16 days straight, you know, 10, 12 hours a day, and then nothing for 2 weeks. And so I went to Ian and his partner and said, you know, what's happening with this? You know, can you give me a little more consistency? He said, oh, we're having problems with our salesmen and consistency with that. And next thing I know, I was taking my real estate test.
And the thing that I think is really interesting, we're talking with Quinn Beversluis with INJ Builders. The thing that's interesting, and I know you're going to get into this, is you guys, I mean, yes, 05, everything's cranking, and then things started to slow down, just like everything. But you guys have really seen an increase in activity over the last, you know, couple, 3 months. And like we talked about last week, with Neil Sansevich in regards to those two communities. He really believes that that things are beginning to move in the other direction, that it's time to, you know, get some product out in front of folks. And you're certainly seeing that kind of activity, although your situation is a little bit, you know, you don't have to think as far long term, you know, right, given your scenario. We're going to talk about that. But so you went to work for Ian. When was that?
Yeah, it was right around, you know, 2005, 2006.
And then when did you go into the sales side of things with them?
I'd say 2007.
Okay.
Yeah, 2007, I got my real estate license.
Okay. And folks, what I want to do is just talk a little bit with Quinn just about the way INJ works, because the way they build homes, the way they go about doing it is very different. And quite honestly, and Quinn, I don't mean to steal your thunder, but you find a lot of your success through realtors.
Correct.
Who are showing property, they can't find the right type of product for their client, and somehow, some way, they know about you or they know about INJ, and they say, hey, let's go talk to Quinn. Why don't you talk a little bit about that and how that process works?
Yeah, it's I always say realtors are my best clients. They're my number one clients. They're the ones who are out in the field, you know, in the trenches, showing the homes, working with the end user. And, you know, you and I both know that realtors, you know, each client is different. They have different needs, different wants, different criteria. And sometimes it's very difficult to you know, fulfill those needs, you know, what's on the market. Even though the market that we're in is, you know, is in a saturated type situation, they might be looking for something totally specific in a certain location and a certain price point. And, you know, somebody built that house previously for a reason. And if it's not the same way that they want it, you know, it can be a frustrating, long process for them. So I basically, you know, my value proposition to realtors is that, look, I can help you help your clients. And it's a win-win-win for everybody, you know, three ways. So what we'll do is, once that realtor has gone out and shown them what's in the market, in their price range, in the location that they want, if they're not finding it, bring them to me and let me see if I can help. Because what we'll do is, and we can get into that later, is you know, design a house, you know, fit it into their budget, find a piece of land, buy that land for them, take all the stigmas of new construction out of the equation, because we make it easy, you know, to facilitate that to get it done.
We're talking with Quinn Beversluis here with INJ Builders. You're listening to 1070, News Radio 1070, WINA. Don't also forget that you can be listening live at WINA.com and clicking on Listen Live. Or if you know somebody who's interested in this type of product, and after the break we'll be talking more about just exactly what that looks like, you can get them to listen to the podcast. And you can do that by a couple different ways. You can go to WINA.com, click on podcasts, go to Real Estate Matters, and then click on this particular date, September 3rd, with the title discussion about INJ Builders. And you can listen to that podcast at any time that works for you. You can also, if you're on Facebook, you can like our page, facebook.com/realestatematters. I put a bunch of pertinent information in regards to the things that we talk about each and every week on that Facebook page, as well as posting the link to the podcast. So there's a couple different places that you can find this information. And we're going to take a break and let New American Mortgage talk about the many services that they provide financially. And that's one of the things we want to talk about after break as well, is once we talk about the kind of building that you do, how do you go about getting it financed? New American certainly can help you with that. And then also Classic Furniture. Zeke Cox and his family have the ability to get the furniture that you need once you build this house with INJ. And they do a great job. And just talking with Zeke in the last few weeks, he said his business has picked up. And he really believes the reason for it is that more people are buying homes. So that's another sign that things are hopefully moving in the right direction, although we all know that it's all about each individual. I don't mean to be boring and say the same thing over and over again, but folks, I do want to just remind you that real estate is an individual decision. It's not a national one. It's not a state one. It's not a local one. It's about you, whether you're a buyer or seller, as to whether or not now is the time to buy or sell. But we'll take a break. Listen to New American Mortgage and Classic Furniture. And after the break, we'll be back and talk more about INJ, type of home they build, and how you can go about finding out more about that. Thank you so much. We'll see you after the break. Welcome back to Real Estate Matters. I'm Michael Guthrie, and we're glad you're here on this Saturday morning, game day UVA versus William & Mary. We're talking building homes today. We've talked about a lot of different things. We've talked about communities. We've talked about just every aspect of real estate. And INJ Builders is doing something a little bit different than a lot of builders in the area. I mean, you can go into a community and you can find wonderful builders, many of which have been on this show already, and do a spec house, not a spec house, but do a house, and 120 days later have that house built. But I think what you're going to be hearing in the next segment of our show is the fact that here is an opportunity to find a piece of land that you like, build a piece of property that you have the personal involvement in getting it designed the way that you want it, and doing it in a price range that you may be surprised and that you can afford. And we're talking about this with Quinn Beversluis. We tried to get Ian, one of the owners of INJ, to be on, but he was busy. But he also has a very thick English accent, and said they wouldn't have even understood me anyway. So we weren't able to coerce him into the studio. But Quinn's here with me this morning, and Quinn, let's talk a little bit about what exactly is INJ and what makes it different than the other builders that that I talked about just a minute ago.
Right. I think, Michael, the big thing that sets us apart is that we do a true turnkey package. And it's not just, like you mentioned before, in a specific neighborhood with a specific product. We have 600 different home plans that we work off of. You can customize any of them. We'll do it for you. We'll, design consultants. We'll do that. But we'll actually go out and purchase land on your behalf.
Right, so before we talk about purchasing land, you talk about 600 different floor plans.
Yes.
Computer-wise, lots of paper on a desk.
How does that
work?
We've kind of streamlined the paper on the desk. I've learned my lesson as, years in sales that, when you give people 600 different plans, you might not see them for a year or two. So what I like to do is have an initial consultation with the client and, assess their needs and their wants and, their budget and what's going to really work, not only just for that person, but their whole family and, their lifestyle. And I'll go through, and give them maybe a dozen suggestions. Maybe by the time we're done talking, we could be down to three or four. And then kind of, that's my job is to narrow it down and also to work inside their price range.
Okay.
Once we get to that stage, then it comes down to the details, how big are the rooms they want? How do they like the flow? How do they live? I mean, we even go as far as, are you right-handed or left-handed? Which side do we put the dishwasher on? I mean, really down to the nitty-gritty. And we encourage people, they're paying for the square footage. So therefore, how they lay out the inside, obviously with, engineering restrictions, but the way they want it. We'll make recommendations and guide them through that process, but we also use the aid of a computer program to give them that virtual tour to, we can actually even place furniture in there. So if they have a king-size bed, you have enough room to get around it, little things like that really seem to hit home with our clients that they can visualize, not just off a set of plans or some pictures.
Yeah, that's why I was asking the question, is that I figured that, given the technology that we have these days,
sure,
once they kind of fine tune a little bit, you can get it up on a screen and start working that thing, expanding walls or,
yep,
moving up the ceiling and those kind of things. And so they come in, they say, yeah, that makes some sense. How does finding a lot work?
Really, again, back to the initial consultation, I'm going to see where they want to be. Obviously, it's the same thing that a realtor is going to do. You have certain school districts, neighborhoods, things like that. Once we narrow it down to a geographical area, we can go out and get land right off the MLS, from somebody else that's listening. We have our own stock, and we also work with a lot of local banks that have some really great opportunities now on some foreclosed land.
So, I mean, that's a great point. I hadn't thought about that. We've talked about this on the show in the past where, folks, if you remember, a lot of the builders, a lot of developers, they're several years ahead of where something actually gets built on that piece of property, and therefore they've bought that piece of land at a certain price. And when the market has changed like it has over the last 5 or 6 years, the price they bought it at several years ago, there's no way they could sell it for that now. The price they bought it at, based on the fact that they thought that they could have do a lot for $125,000 and multiply that by four, that's a $500,000 house. Well, now maybe they can only sell that lot for $60,000, and right. you multiply by four. Now you're at $240,000. Mm-hmm. It's a huge difference between $240,000 and $500,000. And so what you're talking about is that the banks do have property down there where the developer just says, you know what, can't I'm underwater, I can't do this, mm-hmm. take it back. And so then you're yes. in a situation, or the client is the in a situation to take yes. advantage of that.
Yeah, and you know, we've worked with a lot of, like I said, the local banks to come up with that inventory. And we have a lot of stuff that's really not listed, but we do have in our books that we can sell. And when we find a match for it, we can put the people at the right places.
And again, because of the fact that you've even talked about that, the realtors are your best client because they already have the person who's looking. I'm assuming that piece of land, the agent participates in the commission on the buying of that land as well as, the house itself.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The agents are totally protected, and like I said, they're our best clients, so therefore, you know, we want to make sure that they're happy. I encourage agents to get involved as much or as little as they want. you know, if they have an interest, they want to learn what I do, what I've learned, I'll teach it to them, you know, all day long. I've learned from Ian a lot of stuff about land that I would have never known. They don't teach you that stuff in real estate school. So being out in the field and understanding, you know, surveys and perks and, you know, critical slopes and division rights and buy rights. And there's, you know, road frontage. There's a ton of things that go into it. And we don't expect, you know, all agents to know the specifics of developing land. So we're there to help.
Now, there are obviously a number of different ways of constructing a house.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of direction has INJ taken in regards to the type of house that's built?
That's interesting you asked that. Since this market has changed so much, what we were doing 3 years ago, even a year ago, is much different than what we're doing today. INJ was founded 11, 12 years ago on a modular concept, dealing in the difference between manufactured and modular. Regular house, you know, built in a factory, same techniques. However, we found that there's a lot of workforce here locally that has been unemployed for a long time, and they're really, really, you know, they need work. And knock on wood, thankfully we have the work right now, and we've shifted from the modular, which we would actually import from, say, North Carolina. Now we'll build it on site with crews, you know, typical stick built crews that we can run them, and keep the money, you know, in our local economy. And also the modular companies, you know, they're set up as an assembly line. It doesn't pay for them to run the assembly line when they don't have enough houses to build. So therefore, if we order a house, they don't have enough to build, it could sit there on the production line for weeks, and we can't promise a delivery date, and we want to take care of our clients. So we've shifted with the market.
So now that's a very interesting concept, because I'm going to guess, and mm-hmm. one of the reasons that I thought it'd be great to have you on the show this morning, is I'm going to guess when people who know who INJ Builders are, they go, oh, you know what, that's great, but they're modular, and we're not interested in modular. Now,
right.
technology, the way things are done, modular is very different than it was back when, you know, whatever.
Yeah, they were a square box.
Yeah, exactly. And we just had, I drive down a street to my home every night in a house. There was a lot, and then all of a sudden there was a house there.
Yeah.
And it was a modular type of house, and now the people have moved in this week. And if you hadn't known how that house was built, you wouldn't know
correct.
That it came in on two semis.
Yeah.
You know, but for people who have thought about INJ being modular, there's still that possibility depending on it, you know, price and that kind of thing. But what you're really saying is we can do it both ways now. We're in both realms of that. We can really work with the client in whichever, you know, sort of you know, building characteristic that they want.
Yeah. It really opens the door for us. We're geared up, like as we've talked before, we've just hired some more crews, you know, to handle the amount of workflow that we have. And if people, I'm doing one, you know, for somebody who requests a modular, and that's not a problem as long as that we're not hitting some tight time frames and things like that. We can't, things that are out of our control. So we can do both ways. We try to keep the specs the same. We do all 2x6 exterior walls, you know, upgraded insulation. We don't hit bottom of the barrel. We're about a mid-grade in all of our standards.
And my wife would say that's a Buick model.
You
know, it's not
that's
a Cadillac.
Right.
It's right. not the lowest.
It's,
you know, it's nice.
Yes.
Nice Buick.
Now, you know, you come out to our $600,000 model, you know, that's the Cadillac, and it really just shows what we can do. You know, we both know that the market's not in that higher end right now, so we're kind of gearing towards that mid-range.
Great question. I mean, you mentioned the 600,000 mile, which I have been in. Talk about what, you know, over these last, you know, few months or a year, where is that price range? When you find the right lot, I mean, obviously lot price makes a difference, but as far as the house itself, what are we looking at from a price range standpoint?
We're seeing our average coming in about 225, 245-ish.
Without the lot?
Not with the lot.
With the lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's about the medium that's been moving. You know, we have some 400,000 or 500,000. We have some 150, you know, 180,000.
Right.
But you know, the majority of what we're doing is in that mid two range.
And even though I know it changed from it can change with house to house, average square foot price, what range are you guys?
You can
figure
an average of $100 a square foot or less. Obviously the bigger you go, the less less per square foot we can do. We're typically seeing our average coming about 95.
Okay. And you know, I ask this question all the time to the builders that come on the show and just people that I have a chance to get in touch with. When we talk about $240,000 house, $250,000 house, what is your ratio house to land? I mean, yeah, house to land.
House to land as far as purchase price, you mean?
Yeah, like the land value is X, so the price ends up being
well,
X.
You know, it's kind of funny considering that 95% of the people that we sell to are going to have a mortgage.
Right.
You know, that dictates about 30%. So we don't want to see more than 30%. Generally, it comes in about 20% is about the average, you know, that we're safe with, you know, and that's where we're going with it. And it can vary, but the banks are not going to approve anything, you know, above 30%, you know, house to land value.
So when you say 30%, you're saying for that $240,000 house, the land would be $72,000, and
that's some pretty quick math.
Well, you know, not bad for a PE major, right?
Yeah, there you go.
So that's what, you know, 158 on the house itself. So 1,600 square foot house on a
70,000
lot. Yeah. Okay,
that's you can get a nice lot around, you know, in or around Charlottesville for that price.
Well, Quinn, I really really appreciate you coming on the show and just kind of addressing kind of a different aspect of the builder industry. And if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to reach you if they want more information?
Best way really is my cell phone, 434-989-8578. I'm always on it. I have it 24 hours a day. I'll be glad to answer any questions people have about it.
Great. Folks, as always, we really, really appreciate your time. Our time is up, but we thank you for yours. Have a great weekend, and go Hoos.